Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger. And today I have the special privilege of interviewing Elizabeth Hart, newest Glam Girl coach. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Hey, thanks for having me, Amy.
Yeah, of course. So excited to have you on. We've been working together for a very long time as a coach-athlete relationship.
Yes.
It's been several years and we've done several different contest preps together. But first, I just wanted you to kind of give us a brief introduction of where you're from, what your family, your husband, your daughter's name, and then just kind of like your educational background and what you do.
Yeah. So my name's Elizabeth. I am located in Kansas City, Missouri. This is where I've lived the majority of my life. I am married 10 years. So going on 10 years, that'll be 11 this year. And we have a daughter, a 4-year-old little girl. Her name is Elise. And as far as my background, my career, so I actually started off as an elementary school teacher. And then I went back to school and developed my love of nursing. So I've been a nurse for several years. And right now I am a nurse manager and I manage a pretty decent sized progressive care nursing unit at a local academic hospital.
Awesome. And
yeah,
you're also working on a couple of certifications. You've completed your precision nutrition.
Yes, correct. I've completed that. And now I am just working on getting my personal trainer certification. So,
yep. And that's through NASM, which is very reputable. It's not an easy test, as you probably well know while you're studying for that exam. Okay, so tell us a little bit about how your fitness journey started, because we're going to go back to, you know, when you had Elise, because that's kind of when I first met you. So can you tell us about what types of things you started doing to get your body back in shape after having her?
Of course. So prior to having her, I was into CrossFit and I kind of did CrossFit on a whim. I saw like a Groupon for it one day and was like, well, this is interesting. And so I decided to do a class with my friend and kind of got hooked into that environment and loved it. It was great. And then I had Elise. And during my pregnancy, I was scaling CrossFit and doing a little bit here or there, and then also doing prenatal yoga pretty regularly. But especially as I got close to having her, I just was not, my CrossFit skills were just not great anymore. I couldn't do a whole lot of things. And so after I had Elise and I had the all clear to start exercising, which I loved my provider, but I think that's a big issue just in today's world where your provider will say like, okay, great, you're ready to start exercising again, go. And, you know, for me, I was just thinking, well, I don't think I can jump right back into CrossFit and it's not really aligning with, you know, being a new mom and trying to breastfeed and doing all these things. And I just didn't really know where to go or what to do. I didn't know how to eat. I didn't know what exercises were safe, what exercises I needed to kind of get my body where it needed to be. All while getting, you know, the stereotypical unfortunate culture of, well, you have to accept this new body and, you know, you're a new mom and this is just how it is. Like your body completely changes. And I also heard things like you'll never have your old body back. And oh, that was just like crushing because you're already emotional. You're going through the hormonal changes of being a new mom and to hear like, well, you're going to have to be, you know, unhappy for the rest of your life in this body that you have was awful. So I kind of took my fitness into my own hands, if you will, and decided to hire a personal trainer who was local to KC. Her name was Daisha and she was great. She was a personal trainer for me. She helped me get going with a program that was challenging, but what I needed for where I was at, and worked with a nutritionist too at that time. And then through that same company, They were advertising train like a bikini competitor for a month. And I was like, well, that's interesting. What is this like bikini competitor thing? This is very interesting. So I decided to do that. And that's when Amy, you and I connected. So Amy was assigned to be my coach, and I just loved it. And I loved Amy, and I loved training with, with you. And through that, the competition thing got brought up, and I was like, well, what is this whole bikini competition? What are these shows about? And then I remember, Amy, you said during one of our sessions, you were like, I think you should do it. And I was
I
like,
totally
what? I like remember even like what we were doing at the time, and I was like, what do you mean I should do it? And you were like, yeah, with your like background and like your CrossFit background and stuff, like you should do it. You would really like it. So I was like, okay. And at that time you said, well, let's wait, because at the time I was still breastfeeding. And that's one thing that I really love about you, is that you were like, okay, let's not jump into a show right now. Like, let's wait until you're done breastfeeding to make sure like we're not, losing weight drastically and affecting that. So, yeah, that spring I did my first competition. So it was about a year after I had Elise is when I did my first show, and did pretty well, and I just got hooked. So that's how I kind of got into it.
Yeah, I think when you entered that bikini challenge, you I had kind of been scheming the whole time. I was like, I know she would be great for this. I'm like, I'm gonna get her to do this. And lo and behold, you were able to step on stage that year and you actually got nationally qualified at your first show. So yeah, you were definitely made for that. So when we talk about the breastfeeding, I just want to kind of touch on that a little bit. So, for our listeners, just to educate them, because I have worked with, clients that are postpartum, and I even just recently had, she's now getting ready for the next team show, but she had trained with me right after she got the clearance from her doctor, and we actually kept her milk supply up. We were very strategic about certain things we were implementing. But it's definitely possible to, train and breastfeed with the right nutritional foundation. But I would say, just so you guys know why, I would say not even just for the fact that your milk would dry up or that you wouldn't be able to provide sufficient nutrition for your baby. There's also a lot hormonally going on with prolactin. It's basically a way that your body hold on to body fat to make sure that it sustains enough nutrients for your child. So, it's really difficult to lose weight, when that hormone is in place. So yeah, just kind of wanted to give that little piece on that.
Yes, we love the
So
science.
it's the prolactin that's kind of keeping things at bay there. So once a mother is ready to be done breastfeeding, then that's at the point where I'm like, okay, now we can focus on a weight loss goal. So, anywho, so on to the next show, because I feel like it was incredible, how much you changed and grew the following year, and you moved up in your placement. Was there anything different about that, experience that you, from your first bikini competition to your second bikini competition, that you kind of learned about yourself as an athlete, and how did you bring such an improved package? Because you already started out great. So.
Yeah, that is a really good question. I think the diet changes were, I think, one of the top things. And then honestly, like just getting the judges' feedback and hearing what I needed to improve upon, that's something that I think is so great about the sport, and that people don't really realize, is you get, for the most part, you get very detailed feedback about what they want to see and what changes to make. So, they wanted me to make some changes with my suit, which I did. They wanted for me to make some changes with my physique, which we worked on. They said, you need to grow your glutes, which has been pretty consistent feedback that I've gotten, and it just takes time to do that. So I think those were some of the biggest differences. And training wise, I feel like with each show we've evolved in what we've done for me, and that's something that I really appreciate, is like my program that I'm on right now and at this point of my season is completely different than my program that we were doing when I started out, because I feel like as you work with your coach over the years, and even within the span of 1 year, things can change drastically based upon what your body needs and how it's responding to exercise. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. Hopefully it does.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so we, you know, you moved from fourth place to second place, and then it was about another calendar year, if I'm not mistaken, that we got you into that overall pose down at the end. So she got first in her class. And so throughout that journey, I mean, is there anything that you could share with the listeners in terms of how do you even make yourself like that much better when you're already, you know, pretty much every year you were nationally qualified, because the first year it was the top five, and then the second time you competed it was the top two, and you hit top two, and then you got first at your last regional competition. So anything there that changed dramatically from the first to the second, and then the second to the third?
Yeah, I think from the first to the second, the diet was a big part of that. And then I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, Amy, but I feel like there was a lot of supersets with the first training. Mm-hmm. So a lot of like back-to-back high intensity type workouts. My cardio wasn't too crazy for my first few shows, but it was a lot of high intensity interval training. And what we've learned kind of over the years is that yes, HIIT does work and it can be very effective in certain times, but we've also switched it up with different types of cardio. You know, I've done everything from treadmill sprints to treadmill, you know, lunge programming to working on the step mill to working on, you know, just different exercise things and modalities. I feel like we've also gotten into more of like a progressive overload model with my training. So not focused on like doing a bunch of circuit type training or supersets. It's more very focused mind muscle connection. So I find that whenever I'm lifting now, I'm not just like going through the motions or checking off a box. I'm being very intentional, and I know what muscle groups I need to be working so that I can really focus on that.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny that you say that. I don't mean to interrupt, but
no, you're fine.
Chris and I just recorded today's episode that's going to drop. Well, this will be pre-recorded for next week, but
right.
The episode is Progressive Overload. And we were talking about how we used to, in the past, as coaches, do like the muscle confusion and how much better our, you know, our programming has gotten for us as athletes and like with our results with our athletes, that we coach doing the progressive overload, specifically because you can focus and mind muscle connection. You like completely just, I promise it was not planned. So when you guys hear today's episode,
but it's so true. It's so true though. The more that I work out and the more that you can slow down and focus on, you know, the muscles that you should be working. And like, I feel myself like catching those muscles, you know, in the middle of my sets being like, okay, like, and as I'm working through the motion, am I feeling that contraction? Like, is that working? So I don't know. I feel like it's way more effective than just like going through a bunch of different, you know, exercises just to exercise. And I think that's what I love about bodybuilding too, is everyone's program is different, and depending on what your body type is and what your goals are, your program looks vastly different from one athlete to another. So that's one thing that I really appreciate about the sport, is just how individualized it could be. So,
well, and it's nice to be able to work with you over several years too, because then I get to learn you and not just, you know, how your body, you know, looks on stage. I can learn so many different things from each show that we do together. It's like we grow together.
For sure.
I learn you better on what you need. And so we're going to maybe switch directions here. Oh, I guess it's not really switching directions, but I kind of wanted to talk about, so we took about a year break, and you had gone on birth control on an IUD. And so then when you came back this past year in 2020, we had some new obstacles that we had to like kind of get through. So I don't know how much of that you want to share that, you know, what that, and I'm not saying that this will happen to everybody that's on IUD or anything like that, but, you know, I always think it's valuable to share a personal experience, because maybe somebody else is experiencing that too with an IUD. So,
yeah. And, you know, just because I'm a registered nurse, I just want a disclaimer. And I know you do this a lot in your podcast by saying like, this is not medical advice. Right. I'm just speaking on what my experience is. Yeah. And so this may not be the case for everyone, or anyone who's also, you know, going through birth control, but, I got an IUD 'cause you know, that's the rage these days. And for some people it's great and it works really well. Once I had mine, I noticed kind of over the next few months, like I just was not feeling great. And I was like, well, you know, maybe this is just, maybe I'm just being in my head, whatever. That same year I did have a job change. So, I got like a promotion, which was exciting, but also added stress. And I noticed that my hair was falling out. And at first I thought, well, you know, maybe it has something to do with the IUD. And then, you know, and talking with a few of my doctors, they're like, oh, it'll go away. Like your hormones will kind of even out. And that just never really happened for me. And I noticed that I was also holding body fat and it was harder for me to kind of get rid of those stubborn like fat placements that I had for me. That's something that I've notice going through various preps and working with you is I'm very in tune with my body and where I'm holding weight and what my body is looking like. And so, you know, I got worked up for everything for my hair loss and it got to the point where it was so bad that I started wearing a wig and I still do. So every once in a while I'll wear my hair naturally, but for the most part, I wear a wig. And, you know, you were instrumental in trying to figure out what was going on because, you know, you kept pushing me to go see the doctors and finally get worked up for pretty much everything under the sun, anything autoimmune, everything came back normal. So that was great. But, you know, I just had these two variables, which were stress and this IUD that I thought, well, if it's nothing else, it's got to be one of these two things. And for me, I just decided to make the decision to get it removed. Because I thought that that was what was best for me and our family planning at the time. So I was like, you know, here's just another variable that I can control. I don't know for a fact it's the IUD. But I decided to get it removed. So got it taken out. And then my body was just way out of whack with hormones. Like we did some hormone panels and it was just crazy. So this past year, you know, I did compete, but I think the focus for us and the client coach relationship was just getting me back to a healthy spot, like getting my body back into a healthy place with not only like the IUD and the hormone element, but also like stress management. And I'm happy to say that, you know, with this past year, with making some changes and things, like my hair is growing back and I'm not having as much hair loss as I had. But yeah, it's a pretty traumatic time. I actually got put on like anti-anxiety medication as well, because I thought that was another way that I could help improve my stress, because I was pretty much at the like breaking point for me as far as like mental health. So, and that was crazy because as soon as I started talking to people about mental health and my hair loss, like I had tons of people reaching out to me about, you know, their mental health struggles and, oh, I'm on an anti-anxiety medication too. And there's such a stigma around mental health. And yeah, so it was a lot, but I'm happy to say, I think, you know, working with you and having you push me to get things checked out, I'm in a much, much better place today. I can be a better mom and a better athlete and a better wife. So.
Aww. Well, I also want to, you know me, I'm like the data nerd person. So I also wanted to point out to kind of what the lab numbers and things like that kind of
sure.
came back, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
So Elizabeth was in a really high state of basically estrogen dominance. So not only was the chronic high cortisol kind of doing that pregnenolone steal, because I think, I mean, again, this is just, you know, circumstantial, but the data in the blood work said that her progesterone was like zero. And I think your estrogen was like 500 and something crazy. So we made sure that we kind of addressed that to you and, you know, supplementing with like chaseberry, to increase progesterone. And then obviously we incorporated a lot of de-stressing practices. You started doing a lot more yoga and meditation, mm-hmm. self-care yeah. practices, lifestyle things. And then, I know that we also implemented some DIM too, to bring down the estrogen so that that was a little bit more balanced. Do you have anything to add on that? I don't want to speak out of turn, but.
No, I think those were all things that, you know, I think a lot of people are afraid of supplementation. And again, like with my nursing background, I want to be very careful about, you know, what I'm putting into my body, but I just kept reading, you know, article after article about a few, you know, natural things that I could try to help get my body back into order. And it's so funny, because I feel like health professionals were, as much as we, you know, give our patients medication and we're quick to tell other people like, oh, you know, just take this or take that, obviously staying within our scope. But, you know, we don't want to take anything ourselves. Like, I feel like health professionals are very slow to correct their own health issues or address them. And for me, I was just like, well, it's not going to hurt anything to try these things. So why not go ahead and try them and see how it goes? And being very responsible about what I was taking and what I was doing, and had really good results. So it's kind of opened my mind to other supplements and looking into other alternative ways of like healing and mental health things. So yeah, it's been a really good journey for me, like professionally too, to kind of see another side of like health and wellness.
That's really good perspective. And then can you talk a little bit about how less is more with you, and sort of how we can figure out, you know, sometimes we need to take these cortisol resets and deloads, yeah. and how those can really benefit you.
Yeah. So my body does very well with, you know, working out every day, and it can tolerate a lot. I'm very thankful for this body that I have. I've put it through the ringer, that's for sure. But, you know, there are times where, you know, sleep isn't great, where my stress is high. And honestly, that combined with like a very stressful, high intensity workout program is almost like more detrimental to my health. And what we've kind of come to realize is there's a time and a place, right? So at the end of prep, you may have to grind a little bit more and put a little bit more stress on your body. But, you know, especially when you're trying to keep hormones and health in check, for me personally, I did better with kind of staggering out my weightlifting and my cardio sessions, taking cardio from more of like a high intensity interval training style or HIIT style to more of like a low intensity steady states type of training has just been better for me. My body isn't as inflamed. My body is very reactive. So when I do have a very strenuous workout or something, I have a lot of inflammation. I tend to hold water. It does not make me feel great. And so trying to manage the like aspect of challenging myself in the gym, but also making sure that I'm keeping things in check with things like foam rolling and flexibility and yoga and meditation, and really working those into my program has made it a lot better. So,
yeah, that's really good insight. And then can you talk about, so this is kind of your first true improvement season that we've done together. And it's the first time that you've felt, I think, comfortable with just taking like a macro based only approach, where I think, you know, for a lot of people, it kind of evolves throughout, you kind of go through these levels of nutrition and things like that. So, you know, for me, I mean, I started with a meal plan and, you know, I've kind of worked through that. So tell us about your nutritional evolution and how you're liking, you know, the macro tracking and some of the advantages and things like that.
Yeah. So when I first started, it was, you know, a meal plan, but it was a flexible meal plan. So we went from, you know, very like, okay, here's what you eat for meal one to, you know, all the way through meal six. And then kind of got into, okay, well, here are your options, you know, here are your protein options, pick one. And then now we've kind of evolved to a macro type budget, which if you're not familiar with counting macros, you're basically given a set amount of what we like to do is protein, fat, and carbs, and then also fiber. So I'll talk about fiber in a minute, but I haven't always been the best at macro counting, as Amy knows. When she first when we first talked about doing that, it was probably maybe like a year or so ago, Amy, I don't even remember, but she was like, okay, here are your macros, go for it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can do this. And then I was putting things into my macros that maybe weren't the best choices. So, you know, I was fitting in the, you know, cookies and the processed stuff. And again, there's a time and a place, and not to say that I don't have any of that right now, but when I tried it for the first time, I remember Amy was like, well, what was your fiber goal? Like, how is your fiber? And it was always so low. And so just getting my sports nutritionist certification and learning more about, you know, making sure that I have the elements that I need in my diet to be healthy and well-rounded, it has evolved for me. So now when I macro count, I'm really focused on that fiber goal, because I found that, you know, whole foods, things like raspberries and avocados and things like that are going to give me a lot more fiber than, say, something that's more processed. So I love it now. It's great for me. I tend to eat the same things just because I'm a creature of habit, but it definitely gives me way more freedom. So even an example, last night, usually I have chicken at dinner, and I forgot to go pick up chicken yesterday. We were just running behind on some things, but we had ground beef. And so I was able to just be like, okay, well, I'm just going to have ground beef tonight, and let me plug that into my Fitness Pal and figure out, you know, in exchange for that. So that helps, I think, with my stress management as well, that I'm able to like make choices and pick out foods that I like. I think another huge change for me has just been my mindset around carbs. I used to be very fearful of carbs, and I think I've done a lot of learning and growing with this sport to know that carbs aren't the enemy. We actually need a decent amount of carbs, especially if you are bodybuilding and, you know, you're wanting to change your physique, you're going to have to eat. And so right now I'm eating the most calories I think I've ever eaten ever. I think Amy, on any plan that we've done, I'm eating things like having, you know, gluten-free English muffin in the morning, and I have rice and I have potatoes like all within the same day, and the gluten-free waffle at night. Like, if you would have told me a year and a half ago to eat those things, I would have looked at you like you are nuts. But just the plan that we have now, I'm able to eat those things, and I've been, you know, losing weight and getting my physique in better shape at the same time. So there has been certainly an evolution with the types of things that I eat, and also just like my whole concept around what nutrients I need, and carbs being a big one that I've had to shift my mindset. So
you probably feel a lot more satisfied and like satiated and with those nutrient dense foods, where as the, you know, the things with like a lot of sugar that are processed just digest so quickly.
Yeah. It's and nice. I'm sure, you know, when I say this, someone's probably going to want to punch me in the face, but these days I'm like, oh, I have to eat again, or like, oh, like it's time for me to eat. Whereas, you know, on previous plans, I would have been like, oh my gosh, just like counting down the minutes. And I really think going to more of like a whole food-based, nutrient dense type of way of eating, that helps so much with that. Helps keep you fuller longer, for sure.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
So, can you give listeners a little bit about just something about posing, maybe? We kind of talked about training your nutrition, and then with posing, I always feel like you have a dance background. So, can you share with our listeners maybe like how often you would practice your posing, or what are some things that maybe could help them with their posing?
Yeah, when I am in a prep, I pose every day. I think that's really important because it helps, again, kind of going back to like mind muscle connection, it helps like that muscle memory. So the more that you do it, the more comfortable you are with it. I, videotape myself every once in a while so that I can play it back. But I think it's important, again, to like take the judge's feedback and know that your posing that you did, like for example, my posing that I did when I first started out looks way different than my posing now. And I think it's important that you stay up with the trends. And that's something that I really like about Glam Girl is, Amy, you compete and the coaches compete, so they know like what the trends are with posing and what the judges are looking for. So, I think it's important to be flexible with your routine and know that, it could change, but also finding like that personality. So, you kind of have to pick that like alter ego of what are the judges gonna think when you walk on stage? Like, what are you trying to communicate with them? Some people are a little bit more sassy. Some people are a little bit more outgoing. Some people aren't as outgoing. They're a little bit more graceful, and ballet-like, almost, if you will. So, yeah, it's just taking that feedback, but I would say practice, practice, practice as much as you can. And even in the off season, I am still practicing my posing just because I enjoy it. And one of these days I'll get back up on stage, even though that may not be this year. But I think it's important to just practice as much as you can.
Yeah. Can you share any kind of thoughts about moving from a regional competition and then having your first national stage experience?
Yeah, I'm very glad that I did that. So that was a goal that I had last year, was to move, from a regional show to a national show. So I competed in a master's show last year at the national level. And it was very different. The caliber of athletes that you will see at a national show, it was just mind-boggling. And I think it was really good to see kind of the level and the expectation of what they're looking for. And you do have such a short amount of time that you really have to be on point. So I think those were kind of my takeaways from the national stages. It's just, you have to go into it knowing that, everyone's at their best game. And it was, I think, a good reality check for me too. That I didn't do the best at that show, but we were trying to keep my health in check. And so, yeah, but it was a great experience. I would recommend, anyone who enjoys competing at the regional level and who has done it a few times to definitely invest in a national show and go for it, because it's so much fun.
Yeah, and we had the goal that you would have a placement. So if
Yeah.
you're not familiar with a national show, there were several people that were on stage with Elizabeth that got 16th place. And no, they weren't all 16th. They stopped keeping track after first through 15th is a placement, and then you basically don't get a placement. So she
Yeah.
did land within those numbers. So I think that, having that experience and making health a priority, I know that you're gonna come back strong and be able to kill it next time. So,
Yeah.
in terms of your reason why you wanted to start coaching, can you talk about what inspired you to start that?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it comes from just my personal experience and, my fitness journey. And for me, it was about challenging myself and also getting, my body back into a place where I wanted it. So of course the goal was, originally it was an aesthetic goal for me, trying to get my body back to where I wanted it to be. And it just took, it took one person to tell me, like, you can do this, like, you can have whatever body you want. And I really want to help people, and I want to be that one person for, the next new mom or the next career woman who think that it's black and white, right? You're either at the top of your game in your job, or you're fit, or you're a good mom, or you're fit. And I really want to work with people, and especially women, to show that you can work in like a healthy lifestyle, and you can have whatever body you want. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. So, and it's okay to be selfish too. That was something that I had to learn. Like, it's okay to take time away to go to the gym. It's okay to take time to work on your fitness and your health journey, because at the end of the day, like, our kids are going to mimic whatever they see us doing. And I want to make sure that I'm being a really good role model for my daughter, and that she knows that, staying in shape and working on your fitness is not, again, it's not just an aesthetic goal. It's your mental health. It's, living a good, healthy lifestyle so that, your heart is healthy and your mind is healthy and all of those things. So I just want to, be a resource for people, be that encouraging person that, if you didn't lose a pound this week, if your inches didn't go down, so what? Like, where was your mental health this week? What were you doing to take care of, other aspects in your life? So at the end of the day, aesthetic goals are great, and I think there's a time and place for them, but also just the overall health journey, I think, is super important. So yeah, I just want to help people in any way I can with that. So I think this is a great opportunity to help reach more people.
I love that. And your daughter is so cute. And I think you do such an excellent job of role modeling so many different things. And she always has like the cutest little quotes. But can you share with our audience just some ways that you include her? I know, first of all, you're a really good cook. And I know that you got her a mat for yoga. So you guys do that together.
Yes.
Those are a couple of things, but what are some other things that you do to make her feel like she's a part of it?
Yeah, and again, let me preface this by saying we are not perfect. Like, our life is very messy and can be chaotic. So I'm going to talk about these things, but yes, I'm also the mom that in a pinch we will get a McDonald's Happy Meal. Like, I don't want people to think like this is, we have a perfect life or, perfect lifestyle or anything like that.
Sure,
Like,
sure.
we have our moments too. But for me, I think it's just important to teach her about like healthy, eating habits. So just to give you an example, like dinner last night, she wanted mac and cheese. Like, what toddler does not want mac and cheese? And I said, well, that's fine, but let's try to get in some protein. And so she's learning like what are good sources of protein. So I said, well, do you want some chicken? She said, no, I don't want chicken. She said, well, what about cottage cheese? Does that have protein in it? And I said, yeah, I think that would be a great choice. So, she had cottage cheese on the side. So trying to give her choices, but also making sure that I'm communicating to her, like, let's make sure that we're making good choices, and trying to coach her and say, like, you can have your treats as well, but let's try to make sure that we're getting in some like good foods to give you energy. With her, I'm communicating it's about energy, and it's about like, growing big and strong, and making sure that your muscles are healthy. So
Good word
that's just one
choices.
example. Yeah.
I like that.
And then, it's getting nice out. So of course she likes to ride on her little like automatic Jeep, power wheels thing. Yesterday it was okay, well, let's spend some time in the Jeep, but then, let's go for a walk. Or okay, let's plan a really long family hike this weekend. So trying to get that activity built into. And yeah, the yoga thing, she saw me doing yoga one night and she said, well, I want to do yoga. So she did a session with me, and then she wanted her own yoga mat, so now we do yoga together. So yeah, I try to make it as a part of the family and as a part of the routine as I can. to try to build those healthy habits. So
I just have it burned in my head. Sugar powder.
Oh, yeah. The protein powder. Yes. Yes. When she was little, I would eat Greek yogurt with protein powder in it, and she called it sugar powder, which I was fine with her calling it that. But yeah, she's just funny.
She's
yeah.
Sweet. So in terms of just if somebody were to kind of look to hire a coach, and so what would you say a reason that they would pick you to be that person that they hired?
Good question. I think that if that person is, you know, trying to balance career with family, maybe they are a new mom, maybe they're not a new mom and they have kids. I really want to be that coach for them to try to figure out how they can be successful, but also take care of themselves and take care of their family at the same time. And I think that I also love working with people who, you know, for me, I never considered myself an athlete. Like, I was always the last at the mile run. Like, I didn't consider myself to be an athlete. And I think trying to find what works for each individual person to make them feel like they are successful and they can be an athlete, that is also a motivation to me. So
I love those. Yeah. Are great reasons. I thank you so much for sharing so many vulnerable topics. I know it was, you know, a lot to kind of share with the audience, but I think that you were able to, you know, help a lot of people with kind of opening up and talking about that. Was there any sort of question that I didn't ask you in regards to you as an athlete in the prep life, or you as a coach to be here? Anything that you would want to share before we close out?
Gosh, I can't really think of anything. I want to be the best coach that I can for people. And so that's why, you know, I am pursuing these certifications, because I want to be able to know the why and the science behind, you know, what we're doing. I don't want to just give someone a program just to give someone a program. I want to know, why you would program a certain way, or why you would, maybe suggest some different foods or, you know, things on a nutrition plan. So, I really want to help, you know, build my credentials so that way I am a credible source for people moving forward.
Yeah. And I think that you have a great background too, just with, I think a lot of this being a good coach. Well, first of all, number one, you have to care what you do, and that's very apparent. But the other thing too, is that you're a good educator. And that's how you started your career. And then obviously the wellness and the health side of, you know, the medical side, and then kind of pairing all of that together, I think it just makes a perfect package. And some of the underlying tones that I kind of heard you saying was just like helping females to give themselves the permission to fill their own cup so that they can pour into others.
Yep.
In whatever aspect that is, if they're a mom, a wife, a career woman, a student, whatever it is, just being able to take care of yourself so that you can best also take and help and serve others. So,
yep, you got it.
Awesome. Well, that concludes this episode then. I'm so excited that you are on board with us, and I can't wait for, you know, all of your future clients and things like that. So if you want to request Elizabeth as your coach, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com, and at the very top, there is a Get Started button, and that is the application. So you can, in the drop-down menu, you can request Elizabeth Hart as your coach, and we will get a phone consultation set up with her so that you can talk about your bikini goals, or maybe it's just, you know, getting rid of the mom bod or whatever it may be. But she will be able to help you in that manner. So you can also find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast and at Glam Girl Bikini. And then Elizabeth, if you can share, how anyone could reach out to you personally, you know, I think you shared a lot of valuable nuggets, so people might want you to elaborate on certain things to just privately message you.
Yeah, so they can do that through my Instagram. So my Instagram is Elizabeth_Hart, Hart underscore KC.
Yeah, and
So Elizabeth Hart KC.
I'll have that in the show notes so that you can reference that as well. And then on our Instagram, I really want to share those kind of before and after photos of you, like when you
Oh, yeah.
first started out on your fitness journey. You'll be so inspired by just seeing how far she went with that as well. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off. Thanks for listening, guys.